The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. And hello again. My Music is a panel game played by two people whose business is music and two other people whose business is manifestly not music. Your job is to guess which is which. The contestants being, as always, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton, plus John Amos and Frank Muir. Some simple identifications to start with. It doesn't matter about the song. The question is simply, Ian Wallace, you first, who's the singer?
Gay gardens all together, gay gardens on your toes, gay gardens all together, dance it light and tartan hose. Some say black watch, some say sea for sala, say the HLI, but the body coffee gardens, they're the lads for you and I.
Ian.
I think we're talking of somebody in the past here, perhaps.
Yes, that's right.
Robert Wilson?
That's right, Robert Wilson, singing the Gay Gordons. He died in 1964. Fine Scots singer. And presumably the Gordons might have been his clan. How do you establish a clan? You're the clan Wallace, I imagine, are you?
No, as a matter of fact, we are what is called a family tartan.
Ah.
And I should probably get all kinds of correspondence of this. This is not a subject that I'm very much up in, but I've always understood that the Wallaces were not a clan. It was a family tartan.
Ooh. And Scots were here, we Wallace and Blairs.
Yes, and we're just on our own.
Right. We move on to the clan Norden. Dennis Norden.
No, actually, I'm Mac Fisheries.
It's a herringbone tweed.
Well, as I said, it's simply a question of identifying singers. Dennis, cudgel your Hollywood memory. Who is this?
I thought by learning each social grace, some likely chap might forget my face. I can't understand it. I've knitted and purled, but my goodness me, it's a great big world.
Well, it's a rather pretty song. The other singer?
She was a sort of, let's take you back even further, sort of female singing Ned Sparks.
Yes,
right. In other words, she sang deadpan. She was actually rather beautiful, but yes. She used to a rather long fade. A girl called Virginia O'Brien.
That's right, Virginia MGM O'Brien, singing there in The Harvey Girls. Record made in 1945. Mark to you. John Amos, a tribute to a gallant ally. Again, who is the singer?
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Back in on the run, on the run, on the run. Yeah, I'm calling you and me. Every heart of liberty. Hurry, let's have wine, not delay, go today. Make your daddy glad who have had such a lad. Tell your sweetheart not to fight, to be proud there by the line. Over there, send the water, send the water over there. And the boys are coming, the boys are coming.
The boys are coming, yes. John. Who was it?
It's Enrico Caruso.
It's Caruso. Perfectly marvellous voice, of course.
Yes.
But not exactly his material.
I should think nobody ever sang such long phrases in that without taking a breath.
He threw it up. It's a real singer's point you spotted
there. I think of the singers of the past, I think he must have been one of the most fascinating people to meet. He sounds, from all I've read about him, a marvellous man.
Mm.
And the letters to his wife, Dorothy, are really very, very touching. Mm. I think he's a wonderful man.
Hearing that makes you realise what a perfectly marvellous voice it was.
Mm.
Not his material, as we agreed. Our producer, hearing that record for the first time the other day, said it sounds as though he's singing into a breathalyzer. Well, back to identifications again. Frank Muir, your turn. Who is the coloratura soprano here?
You should be fancy free. Your heart should be free. Fair advantage here. My daughter bought a cartridge of this, and she shoves it in the car whenever we're driving, so I know it extremely well.
Yes.
It's the lady is a sort of minor branch of Sir Beer Bowman Tree. It's Twiggy.
Twiggy, yes, that's right. Singing as Poor Little Pierrette, of course, from The Boyfriend. Well, first round and completed, everybody's got a mark. That's a good start. A small bird is the hero of this next round. Ian Wallace, I'm told by ornithological people that only one British breed of bird can deliver a perfect crescendo from piano to forte. Which bird is that?
Well, I suppose most of them can if they're pinched in the right place. not a song thrush?
No, but a good singer.
A good singer.
Jenny Wren.
a good singer. Surely you must mean then the nightingale.
I mean the nightingale, and you've got a mark.
it's a very lucky world we live in.
Let's hear a nightingale doing his crescendo. Rather nice. Dennis, the subject of this round, you'll have gathered, is nightingales. The famous nightingale in Berkeley Square, while it was singing away, who was having a meal at a nearby hotel? Yes, you may well go through the words.
There were angels dining at the Ritz.
Yes, angels dining at the Ritz Hotel, about 100 yards to the south. That gets you a mark.
It's actually the backers of Eric Meschwitz's play.
Yes. Dining at the Ritz is right. Yes. John Amis, who turned Hans Andersen's Nightingale into a three-act opera, and who conducted the first performance?
Trakai. It was Igor Stravinsky who
wrote that's right, to the text opera by Mitusov. But the first performance, Paris 1914, French gentleman. Well
Cernay?
Pardon? No, well
Pierre equipped. Monteux?
Yes, Pierre Monteux. Pierre Monteux, splendid old gentleman, of course.
Yes, he was a wonderful old man. I was talking to him one day at lunch. That's a nice name, I think.
Well, fair.
And he looked like a French version of old Bill. And he had the most lovely, lovely moustaches, you know, which were pure black and like his hair. And he was telling me about a composer's course that he'd been doing at his own home in Maine. And I said, anybody with any talent? And he said, there was one young Polish boy who was very good, you know, but very wild, and he liked to conduct Szymanowski and Stravinsky and everything. Too wild, too wild. And then he started a-chuckling. And I said, well, what did you do with him, maître? He said, for a whole month, I put him on Adagios by Haydn.
Yes. What a way to go. Right. Frank, back to the nightingales. Which nightingale died at Malvern in 1887?
The Swedish nightingale.
Yes, not Jenny Wren. Jenny Lind,
yes.
That's right. Born in Stockholm in 1820. She was then Mrs.
Jenny
Otto
Lind
Goldschmidt. That's right.
Yes.
And he it was, did you know, who founded the Bach Choir?
Was it?
Yes, he it was. Right. On to the next round and to one of the great triumphs of the musical stage. Yes. Iolanthe, the first opera written by Gilbert and Sullivan for their new Savoy Theatre.
Oh, well, I thought that was what you were going to ask me.
No. Well, Ian, you're well up here because you made a memorable recording of Iolanthe with Sir Malcolm Sargent, so you know the part of the Earl of Mount Ararat off by heart. But how are you, I wonder, on the March of the Peers?
Oh, you know,
zing, boom. But what are the next words that follow that, Ian?
It's something about higher station.
That's right. We are peers of
higher station.
Highest station.
Paragons of litigation?
No, legislation.
Legislation. Yes. Well, a good try.
And you're going to say yes. Actually, while they were on stage singing that bit, you were outside talking to the stage doorkeeper and saying, were there any messages for me?
He said there's a spot of litigation coming up.
One mark to you. Dennis, the advice that Ian and some of his fellow peers urge on the Lord Chancellor is given in proverb form.
Nothing mention, nothing win. Blood is thick, but water's thin. In for the penny, in for the pound. It's love that makes the world go round. Nothing mention, nothing win. Blood is thick, but water's thin.
I don't know what comes next.
No, no.
Applause
comes next.
You heard those words. In for a penny, in for a pound. It's love that makes the world go round. Every journey has an end. When at the worst, affairs will mend. All the platitudinous proverbs. Apart from Iolanthe, can you think of a cliché in proverb form, which is also a song title? A cliché title. Proverb.
Into each life some rain must fall.
That's a good one, yeah.
Best things in life are free.
Yes.
Tell him what you do, it's the way that you do it.
Oh, yes, doing well, yes. It never rains.
Sin till tell a lie.
It never rains but what it pours.
Yes.
Small World is one. I think that's perhaps the shortest of them.
Oh, yes, Small World, yeah.
And I don't know whether this was a proverb before Irving Berlin. There's no business like show business. Was he the first in with that?
I would think he was, yeah.
Perhaps so. Somebody know that will write and tell us. John, back to Iolanthe and a favourite moment for anyone who's ever suffered a nightmare. A very recognisable voice. Who is the singer?
You're a regular wreck with a crick in your neck and a wonder you snore for your head from the floor and your needles and pins and the soul of the sinner and the flesh of the dream and a left in the sleep and a clamp in the toes and a fly in the nose a fluff in the lung and a feverish tongue and a thirst and a gentle and general said you haven't been sleeping in clover. But the darkness has passed and it's daylight at last and the night has been long. Ditto, ditto, my song. And thank goodness above.
Who suffered the nightmare?
I should think that's George Baker.
George Baker gets you
good
your mark.
Good old George Baker.
Yes,
marvellous man.
Just the man for G&S, too. Yeah. Frank, a dear old friend of ours, the late Owen Brannigan, played the sentry on this particular recording with a famous political statement about liberals and conservatives. While we listen to Branny, can you work out a more up-to-date couplet about the state of the parties?
No.
Right. I think it's comical. Halla, 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 halla. How nature always does contrive. Halla, halla, halla. That every boy and every gal that's born into the world alive is either a little liberal or else a little conservative. Halla, 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 halla. Is either a little liberal or else a little conservative.
How have you got on, Frank?
You're still writing.
Well, no. Every boy and every girl who hates the status quo is either a little floating vote or else as a young don't know.
A gentleman living in Suffolk wrote to me to suggest a round of questions about bugle calls and their meanings. And I thought that's rather a good idea. So, Ian, You first as ever, Ian. What does this call mean? What is one supposed to do on hearing it?
Shut up.
Yes, I think you've got the idea, yes.
It's the beginning of an imperfect day.
Right, for a valley, yes. It means get out of bed, you lazy lot of emaciated Workshire sex maniacs, doesn't it? Or worse to that effect, yeah. You've got a mark, I think, for that, no question. Dennis, can you tell me what this call means and where it was recorded?
There's a tone.
Yes, Dennis.
I think the... Do the Dagenham Go Pipers have a canteen?
It's a good guess. A good guess.
Well, I was going to say, there was a time in my life when I used to start salivating. It was a kind of conditioned reflex, that.
Yes, means that's right.
You reach for what used to be called your irons.
That's right.
But it's, I don't know.
Well, a word would do.
Well, Scotland, or yes, thank you. A feeling of the northwest frontier of that.
No, Scotland is
Gunga right. Din on the, but it's treading on the bagpipes there.
You've got the marks. It's come to the cookhouse door, boys, of course. Recorded at the barracks of the Cameronians, the Scottish Rifles. Soldiers have added words to these bugle calls, and Mr. Bruce, that's the listener who wrote to me, mentioned a couple of them. I thought I'd pass on. The call for mail, for instance. Letters from Lousy Lou, boys. Letters from Lousy Lou. And for officers' mess, I think I've heard this one before. The officers' wives have puddings and pies. The soldiers' wives have skilly. That'll take a few listeners back through the years. John, here's a drummer's call, or in parade ground parlance...
Drummer's call! Beat! Ah!
More fun than the bugles, I think. John, what is the correct way to hold a pair of drumsticks, with a special reference to the left hand? You've got your forefinger over the stick and the rest under, haven't you, in the left hand? Yes.
Well, have you or haven't you?
I can't give you the mark. I'll give you half a mark, John, because you're right for the right hand, which just holds an ordinary grip. The left hand...
If they loose.
It sockets into between the thumb and the forefinger, and two fingers go over the drumstick and the other two below. That's the official correct way to hold a...
Given me notice, I would have asked my old friend Jimmy Blaines.
Yes. He'd have asked you in that voice, wouldn't he? Yes. Half a mark. Then, Frank, back to the bugle calls, and the one which would have been most familiar to you, I think, when you were in the army.
Retreat.
I think even more familiar than retreat in your case.
Repeat. I wasn't in the army. I fought for my country most of the war in the RAF in Manchester.
But you've seen enough John Wayne films.
we didn't have those. Does it mean it's time for barrack room inspection? Or
no, it doesn't.
Or change your mess jackets because the colonel's wife is coming in to dinner?
No. Let us ask the audience. What was that call? Anybody know? In a word, defaulters. Thank you, sir. You've been on Jankers yourself, obviously. Would the gentleman who answered like Frank to have half a mark? Yes, right, he has half a mark.
There's a very interesting thing about that John's question about the chap saying, hey, is that all army commands were always split in the middle, and the last syllable was always, hey.
Hey, yes.
It was, our turn. About. Hey!
And Stanat.
Stanat.
Hey!
Hey!
True. Let's get back into Civvy Street and the musical stage. Here are some characters from cast lists. Ian Wallace, where would you find Lord Henry Ashton, Lord Arthur Bucklaw, and Edgar?
Ah.
Ah, you know.
Yes, I do. You would find them in a hell of a mess in a Scottish castle.
Yes, that's right. Ravenswood Castle, no less.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes, that's right. Edgar came from Ravenswood, but the main part of it happens in the Ashton Castle, the murder takes place. It's Lucia de Lammermoor.
Yes, Donizetti from Sir Walter Scott's novel, not you. Dennis, coming further south, slightly west, where would you find Mr. and Mrs. Organ Morgan?
Mrs. Morgan. Mrs. Organ Morgan was always saying, I am a martyr to music.
Yes.
One of the delightful things.
Our audience.
Yes. That's
right.
They were in a village, which is much more interesting when you spell it the wrong way around. It was called Llaragub.
Yes.
In Wales.
Well, I meant
And which was nestled by the sea under Milk Wood.
Yes, still in Thomas's Under Milk Wood. That's right, Mark. John Amos, where would you find Renata and Ruprecht with the rather surprising arrival at the end of the fourth act of Faust and his inseparable companion Mephistopheles?
Is it a Russian opera?
Yes, and it's recent. Comparatively,
it's Prokofiev.
Yes, you're going to get it.
And it's called The Angel of Fire.
Fiery Angel, down on my sheet, but you're right for a mark. Yes, Prokofiev's Fiery Angel. Frank, where would you find a cobweb and a moth?
Well, it's Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes, but since it's this musical, whose Midsummer Night's Dream shall we have?
The first one was The Fairy Queen. By Purcell, 16... What are you writing there? B. Britain.
So,
well, I am.
Cobweb and Moth. Cobweb and Moth, along with Snout and Starveling and Flute and Snug and the rest of them in Midsummer Night's Dream. And so to the final round, the singing. Dennis, you first. The answer is in the lyrics. And can we have the answer, please, in song? What conclusion do you draw when the lady is kissable?
When the lady is kissable and the evening is cool, any dream is permissible in the heart of a fool. The night is young and I am so beautiful.
You're so beautiful. Yes, you got that beautiful. Well done. John, your girlfriend arrives on little snow-white feet, and she told you to take it easy, not that you agreed. Can you sing me Where This Was? I'll give you an introduction.
Down by the Surrey Gardens, my love and I did meet. She passed the Surrey Gardens on little snow-white feet. She bid me take life easy as the leaves grow on the tree. But I, being young and foolish, with her did not agree.
On another musical plane altogether, Frank. I'm going to play the first six bars, Frank, of an immortal song from earlier days. Can you come in when I stop and complete it?
Don't know yet. And they got big pips in Louisiana.
What's that song?
Louisiana, she's the sweetest girl I know.
Yes, they've all got pips in. What have got pips in, do you remember?
Well, I think watermelon.
Walk down where the watermelons grow. Louisiana, that's the girl, and you've got the mark. So to Ian, and Ian, one of your rollicking songs. I snap my fingers at the frost, I whistle at the rain, I've braved the storm for many a day, and will do so again. Right, here's your chord.
And I say, tweet, tweet.
Crack, crack goes the whip, I whistle and I sing. I sits upon me wagon, I'm as happy as a king. Me horse is always willing, and I am never sad. Oh, who could lead a life so gay as Joe the Carrier Lad? Oh.
We hope you've had a rollicking time with this edition of My Music, a victory I see by a mere one mark for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Schreier.